Father, we worship You in spirit. Father, we worship You out of that new nature. Father, we worship You in a way that we know the Old Testament saints loved You. Lord, we read the Psalms of David and we tremble at His love for You. But Father, You've given us a capacity to worship You in a way that they could not. Father, You've given us the capacity to truly worship You out of our new nature. Father, to worship You as children, offspring of God, the literal offspring of the Father. Father, we love You. We praise You. We adore You. We exalt You and we magnify You. Father, no one ever loved us like You loved us. Thank You for loving us while we were yet sinners, knowing that the day would come You'd send Your Son to seek and save that which was lost. Thank You for saving us. Jesus, we owe everything to You, Jesus. Father, we thank You for the new birth. Father, we don't want to be hired by You. We don't want to work for You in the sense of a hireling. Father, we're owned. We're owned, Father. We have been bought with a price. Father, I speak not just for myself, but for all those here, Lord, I know, and those that are listening by all around the world, Father, whatever time we have left on this planet, Lord, it belongs to You. Help us give it all to You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. If you can't feel His presence, we're going to have an altar call. You can get saved. Hallelujah. Boy, we have a lot of people. Just come on in. Come on in, find a seat. Hallelujah. How many of you know the conference does not officially start until tonight? How many of you know the conference started about 30 minutes ago? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I was asking him, because I knew this was kind of going to be the case, that we're going to have a lot of people already here for the conference. And I said, Lord, we've been teaching this series on Sunday morning here, you know, at 8:30, and the day's been having me do it for a while. And I said, Lord, what do You want me to do? And He said, finish the series, you know. So, all right, here we go. Go ahead and open up to Romans 8. How many of y'all have learned a few things going down the born-again trail? Can I see your hand? Yeah, you remember that first year that Dave was going to teach on that, and somebody asked him back in the room back there, back in his office, says, what are you going to teach on at the conference? And it was specifically the October conference, I believe. It was the, you know, where more ministers come. He says, I'm going to teach on being born again. And the person just kind of laughs, say, oh, that's a good one, Brother Dave. You're going to teach a bunch of preachers about being born again? He went, yeah. Have we learned a few things? Oh, my goodness, you know. Well, we've been going down that born-again trail for years now and learning so many things. I was just discussing yesterday over lunch with some folks how those revelations have changed my whole life. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here recently, the Holy Spirit kept bringing to my see, that born-again trail is what happened to you. See, you're really not just an old sinner saved by grace. That is Old Testament salvation. Now, it's true. You were an old sinner. You did get saved by grace. It wasn't by your good works. It was the gift of God. Amen? But He didn't just forgive you and leave you the same. He said, that's not good enough. Hallelujah. He says, I want them back the way I originally made man in the first place. Are you in Romans 8 yet? For years around the prayer center here, while Dave was first taking us down the born-again trail, glory to God, I just want to run and hug necks. I keep seeing faces, I want to run and hug necks. Our Bibles here at the prayer center, you just hold it closed and let it drop open. It fell to Romans 8. Still yet to this day, That page in my Bible is the only one that moves. Romans 8. See how it moves here? It's almost gone. But for years, we've been... Yes, sir. Oh, my. Many of you are hardly... Yes, sir. Is that the word? Barely ready for this conference. Because he's going to give you so much. He's going to give you so much. You're going to be like a person going, I need equipment to haul all this away with. I need equipment. It's so much so quick. I mean, I told the Lord I was hungry, but he fed me so much. Oh, you're going to have a good time this week. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he's saying to me again what he's been saying often. This is not a season for relaying old foundations. We're coming into a season of harvest. We're coming into a time of maturity. And those foundational things, thank God we live in an age where the tapes are available. Thank God we live in an age where the teachings are becoming almost available free like water, by way of the internet, by way of CD, by way of all these different ways. If you're hungry for that foundation, you certainly can have it. And the Lord told us years ago, Sue and I, in our own prayer time, before we ever heard of a prayer center, he said, the day's coming when I'm going to birth babies with teeth. They will be able to devour meat very quickly. Hallelujah. How much of that is on your notes? None of it. None of it at all. Hallelujah. Romans 8. You want to know what the New Testament's about? You do, don't you? Boy, it's quiet and you scare me. See, we hardly ever read. We get so caught up because Dave has taught us so eloquently out of Romans 8 for years, and we get to reading. Let's just pick it up here in Romans 8, verse 26. And I'm not going to relay any foundations, but we hardly ever read quite far enough to find out what this is all about. It says, likewise, the Spirit, and that should be a capital S. He is talking about the Holy Spirit there. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, leaving it in context, while you're praying in other tongues, while you're allowing the Holy Spirit to make that intercession, that's beyond your mental realm. It's even beyond your emotional realm. It's deeper in you than that. It is the groanings to be everything that he called you to be. While that's going on, then you can know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's what makes the New Testament different from the Old. They could not be reborn with the Spirit, that life of God on the inside. They could be forgiven. They could be changed in many ways. They could study the external law that God gave them, and through discipline of the flesh, through a reward and punishment system, they could do a lot of things to change their life and walk separate and holy. But they could not, and even God could not, before the cross, change their nature. Could not change it. They had to have an external law, because the only law they had on the inside, if they just let that law run wild, it's called the law of sin and death. I tremble at the holiness of Noah. A man with a sin nature who loved God so much that he would walk righteous in the sight of a holy God when the whole earth was walking the other way. I tremble. I wonder what it'll be like on that day when I'm standing there having the new nature and compare my walk with some of these men from the Old Testament. Should I have the altar call now? But it does not change God's purpose. What God wanted from the beginning. He didn't make man a sinner. He made Adam in His own image, with a nature the same as God's. A nature of righteousness, a nature of holiness. We're going to look at that nature here in just a moment in great detail. Yet you know the story. Adam, by his own choice, chose to disobey God. And when he did that, a different nature came into him. He became a sinner by nature. And even though even like Paul says, or, you know, writing about the human race in Romans 7, even if with your mind you wanted to serve God, you made decisions. I'm not going to do that sin stuff anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. But before you get born again, the best intentions, he says, what I intend to do, I don't wind up doing that. What I didn't want to do, eventually I wind up doing it again. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then we come to this great, wonderful chapter, Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. God planted that new nature on the inside, and He said that's the beginning of the restoration of man back to the way I made him, conformed once more to the image of my Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed. I've been having them say this out loud, into that same image. Religion in your mind has trouble with it. No, not the same image. But that's what it says. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image. That's the way Paul wrote it to the Gentile church. To the Jewish church here in Romans, he says, when it says predestinate, that's just saying he made a decision that he will never repent of. He will never change his mind. Those that believe in me, they will be conformed to the image of my Son. That's what this is all about. Well, thank God for the born again trail. We've learned a lot about that as we've gone down it. But now, here recently, the Lord, this series that He's been having me teach, He's going, look, you can grow up to the full mature image. Just like Jesus. Think about Jesus, the day He came to be baptized by John in the River Jordan. Now here's someone. We see Christ in His full maturity. He is the full-blown, mature Son of God. He's got no more, there's no growing to do. He is mature fully. Yet up to that point, He has never once performed any miracles. No blind eyes opened. Nothing at all. Why? Because the new nature is not intended to do miracles. The new nature is what God gave you to walk righteous, holy, and separate from the world. God intends for that new nature now to work, can I say, in tandem, to work hand in hand with, to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost was, is, and always will be the miracle worker. He is the enforcer. He is the molecule changer. He's the one when God said, light be, light was. Amen? All right, so He's going, all right, the born again trail, we need to understand that. But now we're coming into a season of maturity where we're going to have to learn how to co-labor with this Holy Ghost, or we're not going to really have the kind of revival that God wants. Because really what we've seen in the past, for the most part, are what you would call gifts revivals. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, all of those things. But again, I can't describe it any better than Elaine Hallmer described it. Now, I grew up in a denomination where we didn't see signs and wonders, but Elaine did. She grew up on where they had those tent meetings, and she would sing from the time she was a teenager. And she'd say, there's no denying the miracle. She said, I'd see these guys go out there, and in the name of Jesus, they would empty wheelchairs and blind eyes would open. I've seen all kinds of miracles, but what I couldn't understand was how could God use them like that? And then after the service,
They come back behind the tent and try and molest me. Boy, first time I heard her say that, I was going, yeah, how can that possibly be?
Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the teacher. Thank God for praying in other tongues, because He's laid it out for us in the Word exactly how that happens. Hallelujah. And I'm trying to summarize so we can get into... This is still introduction. I'm summarizing the past 3 weeks for you, 4 weeks. Here's how it happens. See, God's gifts are for babies. And how you can... Don't get mad at me. Paul said it. What book in the New Testament do we find the most information out about the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says about that bunch, you come behind in no gift. And he's explaining to them what's happening in their services. Because, you know, it's happening, but they didn't know exactly why it's happening. Well, he's explaining it to them. And he says, you come behind in no gift. Yet it's to that very bunch that he says, you're so carnal. You're so such babies. Can I say it this way to impact your mind? You bottle-sucking bunch. Carnal, split, dividing, gossiping, backbiting, competitive bunch. You're such babies, I can't even give you meat. There's not an ounce of meat in the whole book. That tells you right there, the gifts are milk. And they're for babies because it's the only way God can use them in that condition. But that's exactly why we've seen what we've seen in the past. And that's exactly why eventually, nearly always, not every time, but nearly always, before it's over, some kind of scandal comes. And great discredit comes on the body of Christ. That's all God's really had to use. This revival, the one that we're all contending for, I don't know what else to call it at this point, except a maturity revival. A group of people that is conformed progressively to the image of His Son, who's not going to get somebody out of a wheelchair and in the next breath sell you a prophecy for $300. Or tell you to put your offerings on your credit card. This is going to be people that are conformed to the image of His Son, because this revival is going to last until the return of the Lord. Well, how do we get there? How do we go from where we are to there? Well, now if you haven't found, I know you found Romans 8, we read out of it. Back up just a little bit in it though. Here's the foundational verse. Romans 8:14. See, because in order to walk in that kind of revival, we know we're going to have to be led by the Holy Ghost. You do know that you're not in charge here, right? Have y'all figured that part out yet? Who is Lord?
Jesus.
And say, not me.
Not me.
See? And how are you going to find His instructions? We've all been taught about that in the message. That comes by fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is alive and well. He is still the head of the church. Just like Paul and Silas that time. They didn't know what they'd finished their assignment. They didn't know what He wanted them to do next. I think you could read this later in Acts 16. They didn't know what to do next. So they were thinking, well, maybe we need to go to Bithynia. Maybe we need to go to a town or a place called Mysia. Maybe we need to go to Asia. And they were pondering all this. And the Holy Ghost said, no, don't go to Asia. The Holy Ghost said, no, don't go to Bithynia. Then He gave him a vision, gave Paul a vision in the night. Could have been a dream, could have been a night vision. I don't know which. And showed him a man in Macedonia. Showed him what to do. There is a leadership from Jesus, the living Lord, that comes by the Holy Ghost. And that's, again, that's a mark of maturity, is learning to be led by the Spirit of the living God. So in a sense, this Romans 8:14 here, in that sense, they had it right. There is a leadership that comes by the capital S. Can you see a capital S in your King James Bible? There is a leadership that comes that way, and we're after that. But that's not what that particular verse is talking about. In the context, this is one of the things we all had to chew on and digest going down the born-again trail. We know that the Holy Spirit is not really mentioned in Romans chapter 8 until verse 16. So in verse 14, that is a little S. And I didn't really, even after Dave taught that, I received it, I understood it to a degree, but the importance of that didn't really hit me for a couple of years further down the trail. Why is that so important? Well, because what that's really saying is this. Can we substitute, now that we know that that's a little S, that's talking about not the Holy Spirit, it's talking about your reborn spirit. Could we say it this way? That's talking about your new nature. Could we read it this way then? For as many as are led by the new nature, those are the sons of God. And the word sons, there are several Greek words that could have been chosen. You could choose a word. Our 2 year old son, our 2 year old grandchild is over there. And, you know, there's a Greek word for a little child like that. There's a Greek word for one about 7 or 8 years old. This one is the one they normally use at bar mitzvah, like 13 years. And a bar mitzvah is basically like a celebration of the family. Our child has now, we're celebrating, he has now become a man of sufficient maturity to participate in the family business. Well, those that are mature from God's point of view, that are really ready to participate, let's say co-labor with the Holy Ghost in the family business. By the way, the family business, the bottom line is not dollars. The bottom line is souls, isn't it? Amen. Well, he's saying, those that are really ready for that, those that are ready to co-labor with my Holy Spirit are the ones that first learn to be led by that new nature that I put on the inside of them. And then I saw, oh my God, we wonder why we have so much trouble hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. And it's because He speaks in that same place in us where we hear the voice. Can you say the conscience of the new nature? And if we're constantly putting up boards, nailing shut the door where the conscience is trying, let's say the voice of the new nature is trying to lead us, trying to change us, trying to conform us to that same image, and we're saying, no, 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 I'm not going to listen to that. It's like nailing boards over the door. Then we say, Holy Spirit, speak to us. And He's going, I speak to you through the same door that you just nailed shut. And until you learn to be led by the new nature, you're not really ready. I can use you in the gifts. And I will. Last Sunday morning's message is called, God Will Use You. But we're talking about the gifts there. And He will. He has. He'll use you. But He's really saying, do you want that real leadership for mature sons? Oh, mature children? Oh, well, that's reserved for those who first learn to yield and be led by the new nature. Would y'all like to see in the Bible a perfect picture, a perfect description of the new nature? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Now see, for years in the denominational church, I was taught that the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we're going to look at, and even here in the King James, again, it's capitalized. They indicating that the translators here, the writers, thought that this was talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's real easy to prove. First off, if you leave it in the context is talking about the war of your flesh. How many of you know your flesh still isn't saved? How many of you learned it'll sin if you let it? I don't care if you've been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and Sean died for 25 years. If you let it, your flesh will still sin. Okay? All right? And so he's talking about the works of the flesh, and he's contrasting that with the works of the new nature. That's the whole context here. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about this war that's going on all the time between that old flesh that's hanging on all of us. That war going on between that and the new nature that God put on the inside of us. Now, just one other way of proving it. If it's talking about a war between your flesh and God the Holy Ghost, your flesh, your puny little flesh is going to get in some kind of war with God the Holy Ghost. Honey, that'll be the shortest war ever in existence. You'll be toast so quick, poof. It's not talking about that. It's talking about this battle going on between the unsaved flesh and that regenerated part of us that's really the offspring of the living God. Okay? Well, let's see what it says about this fruit of the Spirit then. He says, the fruit, and if you haven't already done it, you ought to put a little S there. So you don't ever forget this 5 years down the road. He says, but the fruit of the little S, let's say it this way, the fruit of the new nature is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance,
Against such, there is no law. Don't you find it interesting that the very next verse says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh? How did they do that? By yielding to the new nature. That's Romans 8:14. They learn to be led by the new nature. And to do that, if the new nature is going to lead you, you have to crucify the flesh, because the flesh is still going to want to do that sin stuff. Okay? Well, so I was... let's say it this way. The fruit of the new nature. We're reading it right here. Well, wait a minute. What is the new nature? How did Paul say? If it came to maturity, he would say... this is Colossians 1:27, I believe. Christ in you. Isn't that the new nature in us? What you're seeing here, if it was came to full maturity, this is the nature of Christ. That if it's allowed to come to full maturity on the inside, this is the fruit of it. So this fruit of the Spirit is, for all practical purposes, Christ in you. Now you notice something that's conspicuously absent from this list. We just got through reading it. Look what's absent. Signs, wonders, and miracles. The fruit of the new nature is not signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the fruit, if you'll allow it, of the Holy Ghost. That is what the Holy Ghost does. What you're seeing is the nature of Christ that in full-blown maturity the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. That's the nature that was in him. That's why God used him in more than just the gifts. Y'all do know that when Jesus woke up every morning, getting ready to leave the house, or the tent, he didn't like, oh, I hope the gift of healing is working in me today. I hope the Father chooses to operate that gift through me today, and I sure hope the operation of working of miracles is... And I'd like to have a word of knowledge today. Do y'all think that's the way his mind was? He didn't operate... All of the gifts worked through him, but he didn't really operate by the gifts. He would walk up to somebody and basically, like a waiter in a restaurant, he'd like offer you a menu. He'd say, what is it you'd like for me to do for you? What do you need? Because he knew, as the resident mature son, he had the fullness of God at his disposal. Now still, even as I say that, under total leadership by the Holy Spirit, there was no competition, there was no division between these two. So I was looking at this and I'm going, God, this is kind of like the love chapter. How many of you, every time you read the love chapter, you die a little more? Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Right there I go, that's not me. That's probably Dave, but it's not me. I think it's even Sue, but it's not me. You know? Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. And I look at that and I just die. Good! It shows you, you're not done with the prayer closet yet. Holy Ghost isn't done with you yet, because we just read the purpose of God in all of this is to change us, conform us to the... I'm not looking at you, Brock, for any particular reason. Conform us to the image of His Son. Well, this is the image. This is the nature of Christ on the inside of us. Now, I went ahead and pulled this one, the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians. I went ahead and pulled it out in the Amplified. By the way, even in the Amplified, listen, we don't know how blessed we are to have gone as far as we have down the born-again trail. Because even in the Amplified, some of the things they added here, they didn't understand it either. They think this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In a way, it is. In a way. Only in this way. The Holy Spirit is the one who has been sent to mature your new nature. But really, the fruit that we're seeing here... He helped produce that fruit, all right, as you allowed him to mature your spirit. But really, this is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the everyone just point to your heart. We got to point somewhere. Just point to your heart and say, at my core, I am just like this. It just needs to come to the surface. Because God planted it in us. He planted this in us. This is the very thing He did when you got born again. It is in you. Now let me read it out of the Amplified here. Now God can't. I'm going to say it again. Because don't you even think that I'm saying that God can't use us until we're perfect. Listen, that's a big lie. Hey, God can speak through a donkey. In some ways He is right at this moment. Okay? All right? Y'all know what I'm saying there now. God can use a donkey. All right? God can have a fish bring your next paycheck. Tell me. You know? And He has used it, but what He's wanting is some folks that has been conformed to the image of His Son, that this time when the revival breaks out, they're not going to run off with the money, they're not going to run off with the secretary, and they're not going to run off with the money and the secretary, male or female. Not this time. The world needs to see Christ in us, our hope of glory. Glory to God. Well, this is the nature. It's in you. This is good news and killer news all in the same day. Because the very first thing, what is God? What is, you know, the Bible never says God is power. It says God is light. Also says God is love. Wouldn't it make sense that the very first fruit of the new nature is love? And we go, I just love God. Wasn't it wonderful worshiping God? Coming into the service, wasn't that wonderful? I just love God. And I know if I asked everyone, I just love God. But see, if I really got to spend very much time with you. Really some time. Not at conference. You know, when you're not all dressed up. At where we spend enough time, we're out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm paraphrasing a little, and I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. I'm looking at Jeremy, no? Not looking at anybody. Because what eventually is going to be coming out of our mouth, and this is all of us, because it's the way we are in transformation. I love God. It's these people I have a little trouble loving. I really love God, but man, these people. Some of them I love. Those other ones, I just don't know about them, see? Well, to the degree we're like that, we're not yet fully transformed. Because Christ prayed for those who were crucifying Him, saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when that nature comes to maturity in us, we'll lay down our life for the very one who's persecuting us. Hallelujah. How about joy? This is not talking about a happy personality, you know, someone who just kind of bubbly all the time, and somebody who's not so bubbly all the time. You want to know what the real kind of joy this is? We only have one pattern, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. We only have one pattern. Who counted it all joy? Who was on the cross for the joy? He that was set before Him, He endured the cross. How about you? Have you developed yet to that place where you can count it all joy when all hell is breaking loose around you? You dead yet? Are you back in the prayer closet yet? Pushing away from the table a little bit yet, you know, fasting? Because it takes those things. These changes don't happen by wishful thinking. These changes don't come by attending conferences. They come by applying what you received in those conferences. Gary, who are you preaching to? Me and everybody else here. Okay, the third one here is peace. Peace. One of my daughters, I'm not going to even say which one. Boy, I love them all to pieces. Her and her husband, they knew a trying time was coming up, so they saved some money preparing for it. And they did good. They set aside several weeks worth of income, knowing that they were coming into this. And that's scriptural, you know. Go to the Ant Thou Sluggard, who prepares in the summertime what he's going to need. And so one day she gave me a call, though, because the testing time lasted about a week longer than they had money for. Bless her heart, she calls me on the phone. She said, "Daddy, we was doing real good while the money was there." Oh, no. She said, "We were strong in faith while the money was there." And I just laughed because I said, "Honey, we're all strong in faith when the money's there." I'm just full of peace when all the money's there. Aren't you guys? Just full of peace. Glory to God. You know, there's gasoline in the car and there's a chicken in the refrigerator. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just full of peace. I feel the anointing, you know. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. But see, Jesus says, again, the pattern says, "Now the peace I'm leaving with you is not as the world gives." That worldly kind of peace is always based on your circumstances. Are you walking in the peace yet? Where really you're the eye of calmness in the midst of the hurricane? When everything is being destroyed all around you and nobody has any place to go, and they're just looking for a little drop of peace. They come into your house, are they? Maybe they are. Or is that when you're on the phone calling everybody? oh, we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. Peace. How about patience? Really, the King James is really more accurate here, where it says long-suffering on that particular word. Long-suffering. Do you all know what the technical Greek definition of long-suffering means? It means to suffer long. Deep calleth unto deep this morning, I'm telling you. But it's not talking about the kind where you suffer long with sickness and give God the glory. No, it's where you suffer long with those people. So we're all the time getting prayer requests. Please pray that God will send us to a job where everybody is Christian and everybody's nice. And that's exactly opposite of the heart of God. God's wanting you to mature to have this kind of long suffering where you're the one He can send into a den of wicked sinners and walk righteous and holy in the midst of them. And at the same time, instead of judging, you're actually that love of Christ is laying down your life for them. Long suffering. Hallelujah. It's the kind that says, when you are reviled, you do not revile again. You don't revile. You bless and curse not. That's the kind of long suffering. I got to speed this up a little. Kindness. Let's close your eyes for a minute. Kindness. When y'all think of Dave, isn't that just one of the first words that would come to your mind? I've seldom, in my 58 years on the planet, I've seldom met anybody where the word kindness, Mary is another one. Mary Corbett sitting right here. I'm embarrassing her real bad, but that's another one. One of the first words that would come would be kindness. I don't know what people think of Gary, or, you know, I don't know what you would think of yourself, but we need to get to that same place as Christians if we're going to manifest that life of Christ on the inside. They think of you. They think of kindness. How about this? Even though I'm in trouble, I can go to them and they won't hurt me. No matter what I've done. They won't hurt me. How about goodness? Goodness, really in the word that was used here to translate that, is really talking about a benevolent, generous type person. Someone who's not fearful of lack all the time. Someone who's not miserly. But a generous person. Someone who just... they just freely share all the time everything they have. Boys, is that like Christ? Amen. All right. Faithfulness. Real quickly, real simple. Is your word your bond? If you say, do you do? What you say
You'll do it if it kills you. One of the attributes that God really loves, He says, I love someone who will swear even to their own hurt and change not. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. How about gentleness, which is meekness and humility? I can't think of your name. I'm so gone.
Lynn.
Now, isn't that crazy? My mind is somewhere else. But see, Lynn, most people that they get to know her, meekness is not the first word they think of. Because she's very, she's outgoing. That'd be the good word. She's very outgoing. She's not an introvert. Okay? But yet this is one of the most humble ladies I have ever met in my life. And you talk about someone who would never hurt you, even though others sometimes are not always nice to her. So you don't want to get the same Jesus. Remember the pattern. Meekness and humility does not mean milk toast. That same Jesus said, you den of vipers, you whitewashed tombstones. You make these new converts, you make them twice more the sons of hell than you are yourself. And that is meekness in the flesh. Trying to reach out and save someone who, if they don't change, are going to wind up in hell. But it is meekness before the Father, and it is humility. Hallelujah. All right. Self-control. Do I need to say anything about that one? What does it mean? Self-restraint. It is the opposite of compulsive. It would mean free from all addictions. Self-control. I can't do that. Okay. Hallelujah. Someone says, now, Gary, I am just most certainly not like that. In some of these I am. Some of these I'm more, I can see more of me than others. Some of me, I can't hardly see me at all. Yet I have had the privilege, the pleasure, the great joy of God using me. Sue and I have seen little miracles. We've seen some big miracles. Okay? So don't think that at all that I'm teaching that God can't use you. Oh, He'll use you. He'll use you quicker than you think. He's looking for availability more than anything else. Okay? But in this revival, what he's wanting with this revival, again, is maturity. Where it's not just the gifts. Where one day He's going to use Daisy in healing, and then the next day He's going to use Bernard in healing, because Daisy will just get too puffed, of all people to use. Daisy's a bad one. But the reason He does that is so that Daisy won't get all puffed up. Y'all remember that first time that Dave, he's told it many times, the first time he ever went to Mexico? Years and years ago, just almost 30 years ago. He saw a vision even ahead of time before he went. These brown-skinned people. He gets down there, and it's the first meeting he has down there, and I mean the miracles break out like water. To the point, I mean, every kind of miracle is happening to the point that people had to come and escort him out of there because the people were just thronging him. But he's very young in these things. That night at the motel, he's thinking, I have arrived. I am God's man of power for the hour. Thank you, Lord. I hope Mexico knows how. Now I'm exaggerating for teaching purposes. But this is what he was trying to get across to it. He says, I wonder if Mexico knows how blessed they are that I'm here. I'm exaggerating, but that's when you're young in these things, this was the whole problem with the Corinthian church, and it's why God could only use them in the gifts. Because then the very next service, Dave goes out and expects exactly that same thing to happen. He did just what he did in the first service. This time it was like laying cold hands on a dead fish. I mean, you're just absolutely nothing. There's no power. There's no anointing. The people are actually starting to get mad thinking he's withholding something. We were here yesterday. Now what's happening? Well, what's happening is God could only use him in those days by the gifts. He will use you. But what he's after in these days is a group of maturity who has learned to yield to the new nature. Now that's the point. Yielding to the new nature. We'd have to say this. Well, that's just not me, or at least in some areas.
That's just not me. What you got to understand is, it can be you. Go to Mark 4. Mark 4. You can teach that Mark 4 on many levels. Most of us started out on the word level. Sower sows the word. And we were taught, and it's true, that you can sow the word into your heart for anything that God, any blessing that He's promised. If you need healing, you can sow healing scriptures into you, confess the word, say the word, believe the word, and eventually you can manifest healing. All of that is true. But really what Jesus was teaching in Mark 4, He was teaching on the new birth. And the way you can really tell that pretty easy is come on down to verse 21, where He says, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Proverbs prophesying, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What He's really talking about here is God has come to light your candle. That old dead, dark spirit that you had when God's and Jesus. Yes, all those things we said about the Word is true, but Jesus Himself is the Word. And God is going to sow Him, that nature of Christ, into you. That's really what He's teaching, and that is what we call being born again. It lights your candle. But look how He describes it. See, come on down to verse 30, He gives this example. He says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? With what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs. He's talking about a mature tree now. He's not talking about a little bitty plant. It grows up and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Let's say it this way. What he's saying is, look, first time I heard Dave teach this, I wanted to slap him or run or something. Because I would sure like to think that Paul received more when he got born again than I did. But he didn't receive any kind of different new nature than what I received at my new birth. You didn't receive anything different from what Dave got when he got born again. We all get the mustard seed level. We all get the same born again new nature on the inside. The whole key to the growth is not the seed, it's the ground. What does the ground do with the seed? What we've had over these years is God using people in the gifts when really that life has remained nearly at mustard seed level for 25 years. That's why they could empty wheelchairs. And then after the service, try and molest Elaine. God's using them, all right. But there's been very little maturity. Look what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, don't get discouraged just because you've been the way you are for a long time. You can learn how to nurture that new nature to the point it can take over your whole garden. What we just read over there a while ago in Galatians 6, meekness, temperance, love, joy, goodness, kindness, faith, faithfulness, that can take over your whole life. Everyone say with me, thank God. He loves me too much to leave me like I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I want to read you a few things quickly. We started about 5 minutes late, and that's okay. I'm going to read you a few things quickly. We tend to say when we read the love chapter, or when we read the fruit of the Spirit, that's just not me. Well, first off, it can be. In Christ, we see God as He is. Isn't that what Jesus said to Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Christ, we see God as He is and man as he should be. And the reason we can say that is that passage out of Romans 8. God intends to conform all of us to the image of His Son. That is the image.
to the degree that any of this fruit of the Spirit is not me, this is going to sting a little bit. Y'all ready? That's the degree where your soul or my soul has not yet yielded to the new nature. Ouch. And let me go one step further. That means, now I'm talking about me and not you. Is that okay? That means I have not allowed transformation in that part of me. And the reason I say that, I know God is withholding no good thing from me. I know that He has already put the new nature in me. Now, in some areas, some parts, they may still be very much like a mustard seed. But I know the Holy Ghost is not withholding any good thing from me. So if that part of Christ's nature hasn't come forward in me, why would that be? I've got the door shut in that area of my soul. No, I like the way I am. I'm not going to change. And God will let you do that. He does not force us. Yes, sir. Okay. One of the teachings that I have at the website, we have the in written form now, and on the homepage we have the my mind is so. One of them is called the Works of the Father. They're called the face-to-face documents. You can print them out. It's a series of things that the Lord said to me while He was teaching me in my own prayer closet, and all I did was record them into a recorder and then later type them out. People are always asking me, when is volume 2 of those coming out? No, you're supposed to write volume 2, see? Those are there as an encouragement, like a carrot on a stick. You can have that yourself. That's the whole point. But now I'm going to read you some excerpts this morning, continuing with the works of the Father, which we read part of this last week, or maybe the week before. Now, yes, sir. Good, my son. Do you know that Christ Jesus Himself seated right at this moment at the right hand of the Father, alive and well, amen? He understands that His is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon which or upon whom the Holy Spirit will exercise dominion. You know what I mean by that? First, that life was in the Father. Then the Father, He gave that life to the Son. Then when you believed on Him, that Son, He gave that same life to you. But that life, that part of us that we call the new nature, that part of us we call Christ in us, that part of us we call the Spirit, the regenerated Spirit, that's the part of you that He anoints with dominion. Not the carnal, natural, logical part of us that tends to be greedy and selfish and self-serving. He said, no, it's that life on the inside. Now, we're not talking about gifts at this point. We're talking about the kind where He can trust you with some resident anointings, where you could walk up to somebody and say, what is it you'd like the Father to do for you? Okay? That's the only life that's proceeded from the Father that He will anoint with dominion. Now, Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of power, has shared this life with all who call upon His name. Everyone say, thank God for that. They have partaken of the life of His own Spirit, and their spirit has been quickened with the life of Christ. For this reason, the Father's Spirit, now that's the Holy Ghost, the Father's Spirit may exercise dominion upon their spirit as their heart, their will, and their mind is conformed to the mind of Christ. Got that? Christ Jesus understands that every believer is an agent of authority upon the earth, through whom the will of the Father may be worked in the earth, through the life of Christ that is in them, by the dominion of the Holy Spirit upon them. Christ Jesus understands that every believer has been sent forth just as He was sent forth from the Father. Y'all remember in John 17? As the Father has sent me, so send I you. That verse there spawned a teaching series that's at the website also called Sent from Heaven. Sent from Heaven. Well, if you haven't heard that, you ought to. Every believer is a vessel through whom the Father can work by the life of Christ within them and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them.
Now, get this part. Christ Jesus the Lord expects perfect communication be available at all times between believers on the earth and Himself in heaven by the agency of the Comforter whom He has sent. The picture that the... Can you all picture the 12 walking with Jesus going from town to town? Can't you imagine the conversations that would go as they're walking along? They would ask Him questions. He would give them answers. Just on everything, anything in life. But then also, they need direction for what it was He wanted them to do. They would ask. And if they didn't understand His first answer, they didn't totally understand it, don't you reckon they could say, could you give me more detail? I don't understand that. And you reckon He would? Do you all understand that He sent the Holy Spirit for that exact same purpose? The difference being, we don't have to be, if Jesus was still physically on the earth, we would have to be within earshot. Or I guess today, within email distance. We'd have to be able to communicate with Him one-on-one, is the point. The point is, Him being glorified the way He is, He is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is omnipresent with each and every believer. And the mind of God, we're headed for this now in this level of maturity. The mind of God is that we learn to walk and co-labor with the Holy Spirit to the point it's almost as if you are walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus in the flesh. Where when you ask questions, bless God, you get answers. And I don't mean 40 days later either. Because we're going to stay prayed up. We're going to stay fasted up. Can I say it that way? We're going to stay lean and mean, a miracle-producing machine. Y'all got that? That's going to take a little change from the way we are now. The message has come to maturity. I'm going to close with this for today. The mind of Christ for this day and this hour is that the message has come to maturity. It is His mind and it is the will of the Father that believers now learn to sit in the presence of the Comforter who has been sent so that they can be instructed and learn and grow thereby in the ways of the Spirit. As they mature and come to adulthood, they will begin to receive instruction directly from the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father, by the Spirit of the Father to go forth to dress and to keep the garden of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for this word today. Father, we thank You that it's a life-changing, life-transforming word. Father, we feel privileged, we feel honored to be able to hear such things and to have the opportunity, Father, to yield to the Comforter. Father, no one in this room wants to stay the way we are. No one on this room ever wants to be used by You and then bring disgrace on Your name. Father, help us yield to Your Spirit. Help us yield to that transforming power of the Holy Ghost so that Your purpose that You spoke through Paul in Romans 8 comes to pass, that each and every one of us be conformed to the image of Your Son. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.